afternoon, New York, and the rest of our listeners around the globe. My name is June Stoyer, and I'm the host of the Organic View Radio Show. Our podcast is available on iTunes, Zune, and all major podcast providers. You can also visit our website at www.theorganicview.com, where you can subscribe to our newsletter to find out about upcoming guests, features, events, and other shows on our network. If you have any questions or would like to find out about sponsorship opportunities, please visit us on Facebook, Twitter, or send us an email to questions@theorganicview.com. On today's show, my guest is world-renowned healer and intuitive, San Dan Yi. We're going to explore what it means to actually find your soulmate versus finding your twin flame. Some people would actually do anything to find true love. There's countless books, dating sites, therapists, potions, holistic remedies, and even local matchmakers that have created this multi-billion dollar industry, which is devoted to finding your perfect match. Subsequently, there are a myriad of businesses and services which offer assistance for recovering from finding the wrong, quote, true love. What if the person you were in love with was meant to be in your life for a specific duration? What if Mr. Wrong was actually meant to be Mr. Right so that you could learn an important life lesson? Is there an actual difference between a soulmate and a twin flame? And what is the significance of the soulmate as opposed to the twin flame? And how can we find out what is it that we need to find the love that we want in our lives? So I would like to welcome to the show San Dan Yi. Good afternoon, San, and welcome to the show.
Good morning here from Sedona, June. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. It is always a pleasure to speak to you. I admire your work so much, and I've learned so much, especially from the things that you talk about and that you write about. You are such a tremendous influence on me as an individual, and I know so many people out there are very big fans of yours, and you've helped so many people to not only heal themselves, but get on that path so that they can figure out what they actually need to be happy people. So I just want to say thank you.
Well, thank you for that acknowledgement. That's really sweet and very kind of you to say so.
Oh, my pleasure. San, can you explain to our audience about your own personal journey and how you came to do the work that you have done? I mean, you've worked with so many different people in Hollywood. You've worked with very big healers that are very well known all over the world, as well as corporate executives. I mean, you've worked with so many different people, and you've offered so much to the world. And I think for people that are just at the beginning point of this journey, for them to understand who you are and why the work that you do is not only different, but is of tremendous value.
Oh, well, my background is in business. When I was 8 years old, I had a Kool-Aid stand. My family, we're from New York City, and I have been in the business world mostly into my mid-30s, but throughout my life, I've always had visions and heard voices. And I think because of my educational background and my business background, I thought I was not well and insane. And then I realized along the journey that I had a gift, but I just didn't understand what the gift was about because I wasn't in the group of people that could tell me anything about this gift and what it is that and how you work it and what you do with it. So I felt very out of sorts in the early part of my life. And then one day I started just reading books and being led on a path, and I found Torkham Saradarian at the Aquarian Educational Group when I moved to Sedona in 1984. And I started studying, and that led me to understand that I am an intuitive, and I have a healing gift of being able to see people's energies and to understand what's going on in their energy field. Then I pursued studying Reiki, but I realized that Reiki wasn't for me, which is a tool you use to heal people, because the gift, I believe, is from the universe or God, and I just have to do the work and have good intentions behind the work. And then I think because it was part of my journey, I was discovered by the president of Disney Television, who came to my office in Sedona in the late 90s, and I was brought to California, and I worked with some people in Disney and then met other people in Hollywood. And that led me to be introduced along the way to Louise Hay and Doreen Virtue. And then I opened my office and started doing phone sessions, and people would come visit, and a journey began, a very special journey for me, of discovering my true life's purpose. And I think many people who come to me are trying to find what they're really here to do. So with that said, that was how my journey began.
Thank you for sharing that with our audience.
No,
Son,
thanks.
Can you explain to our audience what the difference is between a twin flame and a soulmate? I mean, we hear so many people that talk about, oh, you know, I found my soulmate, blah, 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 and then you hear about how they broke up and then they found their other true soulmate. And there's just so many different words that are tossed around, and people are really on a quest to find the person that they are meant to be with. But unfortunately, there's a lot of misinformation out there. And I think especially when you are on a journey in which you're here to learn certain life lessons and get those lessons, whether it's through your own work, however that may be, or you meet somebody that is necessary for you to understand that, I think it's just very important that people understand the terms before they start making assumptions about what it is that they've experienced and what they haven't.
Well, definitely. When you look at the words soulmate and twin flame, the real meaning, it's actually a misguided meaning in a way, because they use the word soul and mate. So people seeking their soulmate are looking to mate with someone, when in fact a soulmate can be a family member, it could be a lover, it could be a close friend, it could be someone you bond with at work. But really the path of a soulmate is the soul of another person and your soul are on a journey in this life, and you're together to teach each other the things you need to move along with on your path. Now, teaching is interesting because in teaching you have two roles. You have the teacher and you have the student. So with a soulmate, if the student does not want to learn the lessons from the teacher, whoever's playing that role, and they're in a relationship, usually argumentation and a separation of energy and the ability to bond will not take place, because it will be born of rejection as opposed to symbiotic wanting to be together, from a responsive viewpoint as opposed to a reactive viewpoint. So soulmates create, the term soulmate creates confusion in the world, because it's really not identified with, I found the love of my life, I found my soulmate. The love of your life is your twin flame. Your twin flame is a soul like your soul that has incarnated into this particular lifetime at this moment in time, because you have union with that person and it's a very special connection. I think a lot of people that I spoke to about their parents especially, they'll say to me, you know, my mother and father have been together 50 years and they love each other so much and they do everything together. Why can't I have that? That's because your mother and father are experiencing union between a twin flame, not a soulmate, and you're still being taught by misinformation in the industry that you need to go seek your soulmate, where you have many soulmates around you. Sometimes they're just not in your life forever. A twin flame is the union between two souls under love, intimacy, and they share a special connection. Twin flames finish sentences that one another are speaking. They look across the room at one another like nobody else is in the room but the two of them. It's a very special connection, but it doesn't mean because it's so special, it's not our birthright to have it. It is our birthright to have it, but what keeps us from having it? The question is, we have to do work on ourselves. We have to understand what our issues are. We have to be willing to look at ourselves from a non-judgmental place and others from a non-judgmental place, and that we're all on a journey of discovery. As we clean ourselves up, and by doing work on ourselves, our vibration rises up. And like an FM antenna signal, you call in the twin flame, you find each other, because you're drawn to each other energetically, but based on many variables of doing the work on yourself and raising your vibration up. That's my explanation.
That's a really excellent explanation, and I think it allows our listeners to understand clearly what the difference is. And as you pointed out, the term soulmate is so badly misused, especially by so many of these dating sites that are out there. And from what I understand, you're now taking into consideration many of the concerns that friends and clients have had, and you're actually launching an initiative about that. Could you share with our audience what your new initiative is?
Well, through my work, and I figured out actually this week that I've done over 10,000 people since 1997 on an individual basis and through lecturing. So what I realized when I try to look at what's needed in the world, I like to use my clients' needs as a reference point because I have many of them. And one of the things I realized is people are seeking love, but it's that old coined phrase, they're looking for love in all the wrong places. So because with these dating sites you have profiles that are not real, or people that are lying in their profiles, and you meet them and you're disappointed, I'm putting together a new type of dating site based on reviewing the applicants who come aboard, where they are more of an enlightened nature. They're doing work on themselves, and they have specific connections they're looking for in people, because I have also many light workers as friends, acupuncturists, healthcare practitioners, naturopathic doctors, intuitives. They're all telling me what they want, and what they want is they want people to be in their truth and someone they feel symbiotically connected with, in a way that their path is accepted as a light worker, not ridiculed. So with that in mind, I'm going to launch findmytwinflame.com as a dating site and social site where people can come of like-mindedness and maybe find that magic spark between one another.
Thank you. I think one of the biggest problems single people have is trying to find someone that actually understands exactly what their belief system is about and can respect it without necessarily having to hop on board and follow them, you know, with every single thing that they believe in or practice. And this is especially the case with the vegan community. I find that it's very interesting that many people who are living a very environmentally friendly life and follow a plant-based diet have a very difficult time finding somebody that is respectful of their needs, and quite often will say, well, you know, something, it's hard enough to find somebody, this is something that I should just compromise on because it's slim to none to try to find somebody, or that's basically the belief that they've adopted. So what are your thoughts on that, especially if you, whether it's a plant-based diet that you follow, or maybe spiritually you have different beliefs than what the majority of the population have. What do you recommend for someone that is on a very different path and has different beliefs and is looking to find someone that will complement what their belief system is and find someone that can be loving and accepting and deserving of what they have to offer?
I call that the dating up principle. In the dating up principle, one reviews the most important elements in life that are so important to them, they're not negotiable. It's an honoring of the self. And I think when you can get those, some people have 30 most important things. Well, the more important things you have, the more refined the process will become, but you will also find it difficult to find someone who meets all those things. For me, when I go into the dating world, it's more a matter of what are the big things for me. So my advice to people is make a list of 5 non-negotiables. These are important to me. For me, it's I have to have communication, and communication is a perception. What I consider communication, because I'm in the communication field, somebody else may say you're too deep, you're too heavy, and you process too much. Well, I don't like to go digging. I don't want to figure you out and take 30 years to figure you out. I need you to tell me what it is that's important to you so I can make an attempt to meet that because you're important to me. So that's a big thing with me. But for a vegan, because it's not just about not eating meat, it's a philosophy of how you view life, and vegans are very passionate about their belief systems. That's a deal breaker for me. If you're going to be vegan, I believe it's important to be tolerant of people's processes because they're also on a path of enlightenment and acknowledgement, and they could get what you're getting. You may be in their life meeting them because you're supposed to help them see something differently, but it's still a deal breaker for me because of the philosophy is so important of what it represents to be a vegan that I would have to have another vegan in my life. That's not to say a vegan can't date a non-vegan, but for me, if I were dating up, that would be a bullet point on the top five. Like for me, it's communication. For a vegan, it's you have to have a similar philosophy of why am I doing this. But that doesn't mean because you're dating a vegan, you're going to be happy, because that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with general happiness in a relationship. And that's why I think we need a couple of more bullet points. And to when you really see those bullet points on paper and you start going on a dating site, and hopefully if you visit Find My Twin Flame, you'll find people of like-mindedness where you can have these type of discussions. Flirting is nice and it's complimentary, but it's not going to get you a long-lasting relationship based on the key things that are important to you. And I think when people are on page with one another, they bond better and there's less push-pull and the relationship tends to be less based on pain and based more on joy. So that for me is the dating up principle.
From an energetic perspective, can you share with our audience some advice as far as what people can do, especially if they're trying to attract the right type of person into their life that will enable them to continue on with the journey that they're supposed to be on and learn the key lessons that they're supposed to, instead of just, or maybe perhaps you might want to include how they can recognize the negative patterns of behavior in a relationship that do not serve them?
Well, it gets back to the teacher-student role in the relationship. If you're not responding to your mate and you're reacting to them, it means you have possibly unresolved and or undiscovered issues. They could be issues based on childhood stuff that you're not aware of. Your conscious mind tells you that it's so, but your unconscious or subconscious mind is running another program, which for me becomes an issue of understanding how the mind works. And my study in hypnosis and neuro-linguistic programming have given me a better understanding of the mind aspect of the brain. So when you're in a relationship and you're in a highly reactive mode, that person is a mirror for you, your mate, and they're teaching you something about yourself, and you don't really want to receive the lesson because you have an issue or a grouping of issues. So through the process of self-growth and self-help, we metamorphosize into the very best person we can be. And when we become the very best person we can be, our outer world changes, which there's a saying in spirituality, from within, without. And what that means is when you do your inner work, your outer world is a reflection of the inner work you've done on yourself. There really are very happy people out there in relationships because I've met them, and not everybody has chaos. They don't cry themselves to sleep at night. Those are old paradigm and programs that we buy into. Happiness is a birthright. So with that in mind, when we get to work on ourselves, our outer life is colored in a way that it is conducive to happiness. And not just happiness, but success in our careers, success in our friendships. It's very far-reaching.
Thank you. When you are at a point where you've done an assessment about your current relationship and you finally have made a conclusion that the relationship no longer serves you in the sense that you're not happy, you're not enjoying happiness, as you said, which is your birthright, what do you do then?
Well, I think what you have to recognize is that's a soulmate situation where you enter a relationship and it usually is filled with euphoria, intimacy, and you're intoxicated by it. But then as the time goes along, the work starts, or the lack thereof starts, in the relationship, and you get into the reaction mode, and the relationship comes to an end because people either go inside themselves and don't respond anymore, or they have affairs on their mates because they find comfort in the arms of another. But at the end of the day, I think until you really do work on the self, you'll always run into situations and relationships where they don't work out and they create a lot of pain. So again, it gets back to the principle, if you want the very best from life, you have to be the very best. If you want to date up, you have to be up. Did I answer that question okay?
No, I think that was an excellent answer.
Yeah,
can you
so it really gets back to those core principles.
Can you also share with our audience what happens when you don't fully recognize the patterns of behavior that are there that are not serving you, and how you'll wind up attracting someone just like the person that you're currently with if you don't work on these issues? Because I think that's something that a lot of people are starting to find out, but they don't quite know how to figure it out.
Well, for me, we'll use my how I go about accepting a client if they want to work with me. I don't just take a client on. I have an interview process with them on the phone. So if they start using certain language skills and certain words, I know from my background that what their issues are. But for me, it's not about knowing what your issues are. You have to tell me that somewhere in your life you realize your life isn't working out and you really want change. You have to want change to make change. It can't just be a word. So I would tell you the first thing a person has to do is they have to make a basic acknowledgement that my life is not working out. They don't have to blame anyone, themselves or my husband or my lover or my sister or my mother and father. They simply have to recognize a basic fundamental fact that my life is not looking the way I want it to look and that I don't have the tools to change that. I need to find the tools. So what I do in my work is I make an assessment, and then we discover what tools are missing and what type of person can help you with those tools. It may not be me. I work with someone I have a lot of respect for in neurolinguistic programming. Even though I do that myself, I love her work so much. Her name is Donna Blinston, that I refer clients to her when I know neurolinguistic program is what they need to discover things about themselves. I may send somebody to a hypnotist because they want to stop smoking or have a weight issue, but it's a specific type of hypnosis that I'll look for to help them. So I'm like a one-stop shop for getting you where you need to get. But it begins with that core recognition, my life is not working out, my career is not working out, my relationships are not working out, and I need change. That's why I call myself a positive change facilitator, because I facilitate change in a positive manner so you get the end result of what you say you want.
Thank you. When you do work with a client, how long does this process usually take? I mean, there are so many programs out there that promise this, that, the other thing, and also require just really extraneous fees that generally take a very long-term period in order for that process to take place. In general, what has your experience been working with people who are ready to make that change, and what other things have you discovered as you've helped so many people?
It's a complicated question, but I'll do my best to answer it. A client may come to me and say something, and I'll say, okay, I'm going to go into a meditative state. I'm going to look at your energy fields, and I may move something around that allows something to seep through into your consciousness, that you actually make the recognition on your own because I opened a doorway inside you for that information to filter down in a non-invasive manner. And you get what I call an oops moment. Oops, I figured it out. It's when my father tripped me in front of my classmates and everybody laughed at me. Or you could sign up for a coaching program because we're dealing with so many issues, health issues, emotional issues. That can take I have clients working with me for years. They work with me once a month. But when I say the coaching is up and it's time to go out the door of life and embrace life, the coaching is up. I don't keep people engaged for the sake of making money beyond the point of when it's time for them to now function in the world and use the tools they've been supplied with. So it's a complicated answer. I had a woman who called me with a sciatic nerve problem. She couldn't get out of bed to do her work. She was crippled. I did a healing on her. I said, lay the phone down. And when I beeped the phone, the healing's over. And she called me the next day and she said, I don't understand. I'm not even in pain. I'm walking. I'm not here to explain this gift that I have. I'm here to give it to the world in the highest intention, because it's hard for me to explain something that's a gift. So it's many variables involved in that process, but that's the best explanation I can give you for that.
I think that there's a significant difference between your approach and many others, especially the number of people that are out there with all sorts of different alternatives and solutions. I think it's very interesting that your own path that you're taking, especially as a healer, to help people is really intertwined with the work that you do with your patients, if you should even choose to move forward and work with somebody. I think that's something that's very important.
Yeah, it is very important, because it gives the industry, I'm on a mission to give my industry a clean name, because so many intuitives and the dating site is kind of a dirty, manipulative, usury-based industry, not based on spiritual people at all, but based on people who are not healthy manipulating other people. For instance, you go to a psychic and you see a psychic sign and all of a sudden she wants your credit card and she's going to clear all this stuff. You stay away from that. That's not anybody in their integrity. But at the end of the day, the only thing I can do is live the example of my own true beingness and hope that as a byproduct, people have a better view of people in my industry.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks so much for asking that question. It was a great question.
Thank you. My last question for you has to do with organized religion. A lot of people that are new to the single life do not wish to date outside their religion. Is that something that is a good idea or something that they should avoid, and why?
Well, I don't think you should avoid anything. It gets back to the bullet points, the vegan issue. If you are religious, be what you're going to be. And if it's important to you, put that bullet point down. For me, it's not. I want people who are spiritually in a developmental stage that are filled with compassion, toleration, and understanding of other people's journeys. So if I'm with anybody that's zealous about anything, that doesn't work for me, because we go into a place of predominating our will upon others. If that falls under a religious guideline, it does not work for me. However, I have many religious friends that do great work in the world, and they are tolerant that other people don't follow their belief systems. I believe those are truly following the doctrine. And then the zealots come in, and they're a different journey. But for me, that's a bullet point on your list if it's important.
Thank you. Son, it has been wonderful talking to you and learning about the work that you do, which is so incredibly important. Could you share with our audience your website information and also how they can get in touch with you?
Well, if you want a session with me or you want to be interviewed for a session, the best way to reach me is area code 928-204-5885. That's my answering service. I check my messages. You can look me up on about.me/my name, which is S as in Sam, A-N, D as in David, A-N-Y-I. And you can visit me on Facebook on my Facebook pages, which is Find My Twin Flame and Free Gifted Psychics. Now, those are the best ways to interact with me and to make a journey of discovery together.
Or connect with you on Twitter.
Thanks so much for having me on the show. They can connect with me on Twitter. Yeah, I have a large following. I'm at Sandanyi on Twitter. And I'm everywhere in social media. I'm a big believer in it.
Well, you're ranked at the very top, so people really do love you. And, you know, you wouldn't have the following that you did if people didn't admire your work just as I do.
Thank you so much for having me on the show today, June. I really appreciate having a chance to speak to your audience.
You're very welcome. And folks, thank you so much for tuning in. This has been June Stoyer with the Organic View Radio Show. Have a great afternoon, everyone.